Hey, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. As you can see on the back of our screen, we're gonna carry on with our part two of where we were started last week. Really not getting into the political scene, the Republican, the Democrat, or the liberal political party scene, but really just trying to bring some clarity from a biblical perspective. How many are glad for the Bible in the middle of some crazy stuff going on right now? So the political climate is crazy. Even since last week to this week, there's been craziness times, you know, morphed times seven, and it's probably going to get, I don't know, today's Sunday, so Tuesday's election day, so I don't know what's going to happen when you turn on the news tonight or tomorrow, but some other bombshell might happen. But what we want to do as people that are looking to God, looking to Jesus as our answer, we want to do everything we can from the Word of God and look, of course, from a biblical approach, which, can I just encourage you? The biblical approach is the only way for the Christian to approach life. Marriage, finances, medical, social system, injustice, race issues, political stuff, the only safeguard, the only place that you must find yourself planted is what God actually says about a current situation. And so there's lots of voices out there. There's all kind of stuff trying to tell me and you all kinds of things. There might be some friends that you have, or even some Christian voices that are very strong one side or the other. I'm just encouraging you to find what the Word of God says about life, about what's happening right now. And as we've said last week, and I'll say it again this week, just right off the bat, what you cannot do is you cannot not vote. You cannot let your voice be silent. You cannot stay on the sidelines. You cannot have a vote in protest against what you don't want. Because honestly, we said this last week, can I just be totally honest and vulnerable, if you will, I do not think either candidate deserves your vote, honestly. I'm just telling you, they do not deserve your vote. With crazy things of hiding and secrecy and all, I know, conspiracy theories you can say, but and then on other sides there's sexism and pride and woman issues and that. They just don't deserve your vote. But listen to me. We live in a country that demands your vote. And so you and I have to ask God, can I just say it this way? I'll say it this way. What's the lesser of two evils? Because listen to me. Both choices are not the best. Not the best. I want to remind you, getting off topic here, so I just want to kind of get back on point, and then we'll talk about some other things and really bring the Christian perspective, the biblical perspective, concerning what God says about the current situation, what our focus needs to be. So kind of bear with me for the next, 38, 40 minutes or so. We don't want to go too long today because we want to leave happy. Come on, somebody. And happy. So if we make it shorter, it's kind of like going to the dentist. Come on, anybody come out, you go to the dentist. I'm going to get a root canal. Take it out quick. So sometimes things we just got to kind of get through. But we said this last week, and if you weren't with us, I want to remind you of this. And if you were here, I want to remind you of this again anyway, is that there's really four types of government that we need to look at. We said this last week. Number one, there's self-government. Self-government. Every person is to govern themselves under God. Self-government. This is self-rule. This is I'm ruling myself under God. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be morally ethical. I'm going to govern myself. Self-government. Second type of government we found out is family government. Family government. The Bible talks about family government, meaning this, that the husband is the head of the wife and that parents are to lead the children, lead the family. The third type of government that we find from the Bible is church government. Church government. Pastors, etc., are to guide and to lead the church, the local church, the local assembly or congregation. That's a government in the church. So it's not like people come to church and anybody does whatever they want. No, God's a God of order. He's a God of government. The fourth type of government we found out is civil government. Elected officials are to lead in civic matters, civic matters. Now, the order of those four types of government is vitally important. And the order is according to importance. You will not be able to lead the civic realm unless you first lead the self realm. The self realm. And the self, even our young people need to learn how to lead. I need to learn how to think according to God's word. I can't think like what my friends think. I can't, if they're not thinking in line with God. I'm a young person. I'm 16, but I still got a brain. God gave me a brain. And so, you know, when I was a young kid, I swayed in with whatever was popular. I thought I was strong, but looking back, I was real weak. Whatever was kind of cool, I wanted to be with the cool guys, and so I do that. And so I didn't quite know that I could govern myself. And that needs to continually be realized in our lives. So these are in levels of importance. So if we govern ourselves, that we lead ourselves according to God's standard. Again, in the family, that the husband lovingly leads his wife, and that the husband and the wife, or if you're a single family parent, you lovingly lead and instruct and discipline your children in the things in the way that they should go. And then when it comes into the church, that the church, as we teach God's word, we teach principles of God's word, that we preach the word of God so God's kingdom can rule and God's kingdom can reign here on the earth. And then when it comes to the civic or the civil realm, the Bible's real clear that the government, listen to me, the government is to protect the citizens. Can I say it this way? The government is not to run your life. It's not to run your life. And so if we find government trying to run your life, it's wrong. If we find government trying to make decisions that are supposed to be made on a church level, or government that's supposed to be making decisions that's supposed to be made on a family level, or government's supposed to be making decisions that's supposed to be made on an individual or a self level, it's out of order. It's out of order. It's out of order. So just look on the screen as we kind of start wading into this, and I think we'll get lighter as we go, kind of heavy on the front end. But notice on the screen, I want to say this to you. The Christian is to look to God as their source, not to the government. The Christian is to look to God as their source, not the government. Now, let me say this to you. You do realize, as you study history, that the welfare system, the quote-unquote social system, was first brought to bear by the church. The church was the social helping system of the poor, the weak, and the needy in society. That has changed over time. We do have things of Catholic charities, and there's Christian charities, and there's Father Joe's, and there's all kinds of things now that are a blend of the church, and we could call it the state, the government, which, thank God, I'm all about help. But here's what I just want you to see today, and as I just kind of, maybe I prick you, maybe you get mad at me, I hope you don't get mad at me, but listen, if you vote according to a party that's going to help put some cash in your pocket versus you looking to the source, capital S, source God, you're going to vote wrongly. Because the government can't do to you and for you what only God is supposed to do to you and for you. All right, all right, all right. So I said it, but let's look at it again. The government can't do what only God's designed to do. The government can't do what only God's designed to do. The government cannot do what only God's designed to do. What are you saying? Are you saying I'm on social services and I should just quit it and I should just look? I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying that either party is doing the best at helping the underprivileged and the truly needy. The truly needy. But can I just go on record as saying this? Wow, I don't know if I should say it or not. If I can work and I'm not working, I'm on the government and I'm taking the paycheck and I can work and I don't want to work because I don't want to get less than what they should pay me. Shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me. If I can't work because I'm hurt, if I can't work because something's in my head, if I can't work because physically, if I can't work because I'm working through something, if I can't work because I'm coming back from being bombed over in military, totally different stuff. But if I won't work, the Bible says, doggone it, Gary, you ain't going to eat. Not going to eat. And so the government can't do what only God's designed to do, because here's what it does. It hooks me up to a system that cannot fulfill my need. Only God can fulfill my need. Only God can. Kind of switch gears with me. Let's kind of go in a little bit different direction here for a second. In Genesis chapter 11, for you that are familiar with the story, and if you're not, you can write it down and read it when you get home. The story in the first, I think, 11 or 12 verses in Genesis 11 talks about this place that these guys found themselves in. Work with me through the progression of society. Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve get tricked by Satan and they sin. Separation between God and man, yet God has a remedy and God starts working. Man starts populating. Man starts getting away and away and away and further away from God. God comes on the scene with a guy comes named Noah. And God says, Noah, it's done. It's over. I'm going to wipe everybody out. I'm going to make a nation out of you. And he says, build a boat. It's going to flood. It's going to rain. Get on the boat, you and your family. Noah, his three kids and their wives and Mrs. Noah get on the boat and they go away. And from that place, everybody is wiped out. God starts again the whole human race. Well, they keep getting wickeder and wickeder because sin is in... Sin was on the boat. Come on, somebody, if you know what I mean. Because man was on the boat, sin's on the boat. And so we find out that God comes to the people and he says, listen, he says, I'm going to start this thing again. He starts telling Noah about what he's going to do. I've got my plan with mankind. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, replenish the earth. And so what man does is man does not get moving and dispersing, and man does not go across the earth. Man starts congregating. Man does not go from the four corners and starts repopulating and doing what God says was man's mandate. Man gathers together because man is always looking for man to run them and rule them. Whether you realize it or not, sin nature is looking for somebody to tell me what to do. Instead of God being king, instead of God being the voice, instead of God being the leader. And so we find in Genesis chapter 11, these guys come and start congregating. They congregate together. And here's what it actually says in Genesis chapter 11. They did not disperse. They gathered together and they said three things. Three things. They said, number one, let us make a city. Let us make a city. What they're saying is, we want our own government. We want our own rule. We want our own authority. The second thing that they said is, we're going to build a tower to heaven. We're going to build a tower to heaven. We're going to have our own worship. We're not going to do what it, we're going to do it our way. We're going to do it our way. And the third thing that they actually said was, we're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to be full of arrogance. We're going to be full of pride. We don't need God. We don't need nobody. And you know what? The Bible says, God came down and looked at them. Does anybody know what this story talks about? Come on, anybody know what this story's called? The Tower of Babel. Why is it called the Tower of Babel? Because God came down and God said, doggone it, if those guys keep going the direction they're going, it's going to be bad. So God came down there and confused their language. Confused their language. And guess what they did? As some dude, let's just say it this way, was over here talking English, a couple of English people got together. And when a person over there is talking Spanish, they all got together. They found, and some people over here were talking Japanese, and they got together. And some people over here were talking whatever, and they got together. And from those couple folks that were there at the Tower of Babel, they said, we're out of here. Whatever you, however say that in Spanish. Come on, somebody help me. Adios. That's what, Jesus, help me. That's my Spanish word for today. And they left. And they went to their own place. And that was and that is the beginning of the nations right there. That's the beginning of the nations. God confused their language. And so Babel means that they're confused. Babel means you're mixed up. You're confused. This was the beginning of man trying to have their own government apart from God. Apart from God. Nations and governments without God's influence are confused and are mixed up. They just are. It's inbred in the system. Without God's influence, without God's direction, without everyone, and again, in the government we live in, it would be everyone thinking the same thing. Everyone submitted to the same one, meaning Jesus. Everyone focused on what is going to be for the betterment of society. Not for our betterment, not so that I'm making, you know, an extra $10 million under the table, not so I'm dealing with the deal and so I'm shaking hands with this guy so he puts the money in whatever, which goes on in every party, by the way. It goes on in every party. You don't know and I don't know all that stuff that's going on, but it's going on. So listen to me. Let me say this. Since government without God's influence is confused and mixed up, it is Babel. Come on. When you turn on the news, aren't you kind of like going, that's Babel right there. I'm telling you, that's Babel. That's confusion. That's mixed up. That's just crazy stuff going on. It's getting crazy out there, right? It's getting crazy out there. So we see this going on, but it doesn't mean that we need to sit idly on the sidelines and do nothing. And so in a moment, I'm going to tell you what I believe we are to do. Number one, I already said we cannot not vote. We have to vote. That's our job. That's our civic obligation. You need to get alone with God. You need to do your research. You need to look at some of the stuff that's going on. You need to learn when to say, what do I need to be doing on Tuesday? If Pastor Kim and I, we do early voting. We already sent ours in. And I think it's interesting on both parties now. The 2 million or the 2.5 or 3 million people that send in their early voter, you know, things. I wonder if they're kind of going, I want to redo. Come on, somebody. Some crazy stuff's happened in the last 3 weeks. I want to redo on both accounts. So listen to me. Look on the screen, though. God's plan isn't that you necessarily change the government. Let me say this. God's plan isn't that you necessarily change the government. Because this government system, in every government in the world, it's got man involved that is not man under the total rule of God. It's not like, you can't read it like it is in the nation of Israel, where they had a king following God. And then we saw in the nation of Israel before, when they had wicked kings or wicked judges that led in a wrong way. I don't believe that God's plan is that we necessarily change the government. Here's our focus. It must be this. So just bear with me for the next, 25 minutes. Our focus has got to be, our job is to change the people who live in the nation you live in. Our job isn't to change the government. The government isn't going to change. Regardless of what party is in it, at its fabric, grassroots level, can I say this with just boldness? They're shaking hands in rooms all the time. There's deals that are just not equitable for either parties, and so something else gets thrown on the table, and you go, it's just the way it is. But our job is to change the people who live in the nation that we live in. Acts chapter 2 talks about after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, Jesus tells his disciples, go into the city and wait till you're, filled with power from on high. So we find out through the course of the dialogue that there's about 120 men and women who go to this upper room. And they're waiting for this thing called the promise of the Father that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And so they're waiting, not quite knowing what they're waiting for. Well, they waited for 10 days. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that while they were in that upper room just waiting for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit came in, filled that whole room. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember the story? And they began speaking in tongues as the Father gave them the words to speak. Later they came out of that encounter. The Bible says it was the day of Pentecost, and there was thousands and thousands of Jews from all around Jerusalem and actually came to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And they heard and saw about this this great outpouring. It was a phenomenal sign and a wonder. Caught everybody's attention off guard, because if you read it, I think that there's about 16 or 17 different individual languages that the people that were there from all across the region, that they heard them speak the wonderful works of God, the Bible says. So God used the ability to speak in a heavenly language, which is still for you today. I hope you pray in tongues. If you don't, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues even in your own prayer language, or your own prayer time, come up and let me talk to you. I'll give you a free book and you can just do some research on your own. Everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to see is that this thought is that God actually drew people to a city. And then he sent them back to their cities. That's what he did. He actually drew people to a city, and he sent them back to their cities. That's what he did. So all these people came from all around, and they're hearing what God's doing. They're thinking they're coming for some other reason, the day of Pentecost, this great celebration. And God drew them to a city, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be saved, to understand who Jesus was, and then he dispersed them back to be, we could say, almost like evangelists to their own cities where they were. So what's really amazing about what was going on at the time is that the political and the governmental climate was brutal. At this time, there was unbelievable persecution going on within the church against the Christian. They were being ostracized. They were being flagged. They were being beaten. They were being tortured. Some were going to be killed. We see that later on in chapter 9 with the Apostle Paul, or he was called Saul before that. We see what was going on in culture. And yet what's amazing, listen to me, is that God moved in spite of the government. Notice that. God moved in spite of the government. Come on, everybody. God moved in spite of the government. Come on, one more time. God moved in spite of the government. So listen, if your eyes and my eyes are so focused right now on government and what's going on, we're going to miss what God is doing. Going to miss what he's doing. Acts chapter 17, 6. Notice on the screen here real quick. It says this, that Paul was waiting for the people at Athens, Acts 17:16. It says that he was waiting for them in Athens, which is Greece, and his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Notice this. He goes to this city called Athens. He's waiting for the rest of his team to show up, and he's provoked that this whole city is just given into idolatry. Now, what's amazing is that Paul doesn't talk to the civic leaders for allowing idol worship in their culture. Not one scripture does Paul address it. He doesn't address that. He doesn't talk about the government, doesn't talk about what's going on. He doesn't even open the door. Not one scripture talks about that at all. Was it important? I'm sure it's important. Not one scripture does Paul talk about in the Bible, or Jesus talk about in the Bible, hey, if the government starts beating on you and whooping on you, whoop them back. Doesn't talk about it at all. Says pretty much entirely opposite of that. But what Paul does is that he talks to the people about an idol that they worshipped. If you read it in Acts 19, he calls it that you're worshiping the unknown God. He goes around the whole city and he sees thousands of idols. These guys were the most superstitious Greeks, these people you could have possibly imagined. They would set up shrines and idols for all kinds of false deities. And they find one called to the unknown God. Paul sees that and he says, bingo, I'm going to preach about that one, because the unknown God happens to be my God. His name's Jesus. Paul doesn't come across to the government. He doesn't say, you Greeks are crazy. He doesn't say, you know, your culture's bananas. He just begins preaching to them about Jesus. So listen to me. Here's where we must focus, is that God has placed you in this city to make the unknown God known to people. God has placed you in this city. That's why you're here. I'm not saying you should not get involved in politics. If that is what God has put on your heart, Jesus, get involved in politics. But I'm telling you, if you think that the majority of Christians just because of a sway or a vote. Can I tell you? In my young age, I've seen where, especially raised in the South, man, I'm raised in the South, and if you know anything about the South, it's where I was, it's one way, man. I mean, it's one way. And if you weren't this way, you were blackballed. You were ostracized. If you had any kind of whatever, you were not even accepted. Christian. How could you even vote? How could you even consider that? How could that even be in your... But what I've seen is, even though you're voting that way, stuff doesn't always go the way you think it should have gone. What I'm saying is that the government should not be the first and foremost thought in your thinking. The first and foremost thought in your thinking needs to be, God's placed me here in this city to make an unknown God known to people. Doesn't mean I'm not going to vote. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have a voice. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have a stance if somebody asks me. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to alienate anybody from my own personal beliefs. Because I want to try to be all things to all people to hopefully reach people who might not quite think like me. And maybe they're right and I'm wrong. But I want to reach them for Jesus. So, listen. Notice on the screen. Don't get so engrossed in the national media that you forget God's message. Because I tell you, I'll be honest with you. The other day, I turned on the TV and I was watching a certain political, certain channel. Come on, y'all know the channels. Come on, you got one that's liberal, you got one that's that's whatever it is. You got one that's on the right, one that's on the left, and when you go, I don't know where those guys are. They came out somewhere. I don't know what. And I was watching one, and the more I watched, the more I just felt myself getting tense, more and more tense. Like, I just want to hit something. It didn't make me want to pray. It made my flesh rile up. It made me mad. It just made me angry. And so if you get engrossed in that, you're going to forget the reason why you're here. So for me, maybe for you, this is where I was at. You will not sense the Holy Spirit presence if you bombard your mind with the negativity of our culture. You just won't. You'll lose the presence of God. You're going to say, like, where'd he go? Well, he left when you spent 3 hours on the internet searching that thing out. Maybe you need to leave that alone just a little bit. We said this last week, that our number one job as Christians, our number one job, is to pray for the leaders over us. That's our number one job. We'll talk about that scripture again today. But recent polls have told us, as I kind of alluded to earlier, recent polls have said that 65% of Americans say, can we just get new candidates? 65%. Can we just get new candidates? There's a theologian named Oz Guinness, a theologian, and he said this, which is staggering, quote, that God gives us leaders according to our righteousness. I hate that quote because it's true. God gives us leaders according to our righteousness, which is simply saying this, and he went on to say this, alluding to this, that the lying, the corruption, the moral depravity on our nation, in our nation, is now in political office. So what's happened in culture over the course of all the years of things that were left undone, things that were never checked, things that were allowed or disallowed, whether, prayer in school or the abortion issue or whatever it is, justice issues that were never dealt with, and we see these things coming up and coming up and coming up, that now, right now, God gives us leaders according to our righteousness. I want to remind you, I got to have you think this morning. Got to have you think. Joshua chapter 5, don't turn to write it down, though, if you want to write it down. Joshua is getting ready. If you know the story, Joshua is leading the people of Israel from the Exodus. Moses has died. Joshua's now the leader. He's going to take them into the land of promise. That was God's will, God's purpose, God's priority for the nation of Israel. They were going to come across the Jordan River. They did that. And there was circumcision and all that again that we see. And right before Joshua's going to come to the first city. Come on, the first city is called Jericho. Right before he's going to come to the first city, before God told him the plan, you know, the plan was march around the city once a day for 6 days, seventh day, march around, don't say a word, then blow the trumpet, and I'm going to knock the walls down. Before any of that, here's what happened. He's getting ready the night before that, God in the Old Testament shows up. God in the Old Testament who shows up is an appearance of Jesus. Jesus shows up with skin on in the Old Testament. He shows up to Joshua as commander of the armies of God. That's what he shows up. He shows up. He's got a sword by his side. I can't remember if it's drawn or not, but it's on his side. And Joshua looks at him. And Joshua, come on, Joshua's a warrior. He looks at him and he says, are you for us or against us? And the God, Jesus, in the Old Testament, looks at Joshua and he says, neither. I'm not for you, and I'm not against you. Here's the question, Joshua, who are you for? Are you for me? Are you for me? Listen to me. On Tuesday, here's what I need you to do. On the screen, I need you to get on God's side, not on man's side or a political party side. Get on God's side. Don't get on side of your feeling and your emotion. And I'm a liberal, I'm a Republican, and I'm a Democrat, and I just you better get on God's side, not on man's side. We've looked around at these again, but for the next, 15 minutes or so, no longer than that, maybe 12 minutes, I just want to talk to you, just bringing some word to you about what some thoughts that we need to do right now. I mentioned a couple of these last week, but remind yourself of these this morning again. What do we need to be doing right now? What's the thoughts that I need to be having right now? I'm not talking about who I vote for. That's individually. But collectively, corporately, what are our thoughts? Number one, listen to me. We need to love the nation and the city that we live in. We need to love the nation and the city that we live in. You know, what does God do when God from heaven looks down and see America? What does he think when he looks down and see California? What does he look down when he sees San Diego, Chula Vista, or Lemon Grove, or wherever you live? I guarantee you, he doesn't see political parties. He doesn't see lines drawn. He doesn't see red states and blue states and throw up states and what's going to happen here. He doesn't see that. Listen, so what I want you to do is I want you to just think for a while today, while you're here, is that we need to love what the city, what the state, what the nation represents to God. Love the nation. Love the city. The second thing, we mentioned this last week, is that we need to identify with the nation and the city in which we live in. We identify with them. What's that mean? The backdrop for this was from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. We talked about this last week. That in Jeremiah chapter 29, it's an encounter where the nation of Israel has actually been captive. They've been taken from their country, Israel, and brought to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. So he has actually taken them. And we found out last week that at least four of the guys that were taken captive were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were the ones that were taken captive. But we find out that in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't act like captive people. They didn't act like people who were kind of coming against the government. On the contrary, they actually served the government. A wicked king had a dream, and they interpreted the dream. A wicked king erected a 90-foot monument and said, if you don't bow down to it, you're going to get thrown in the fire. Now listen, that was against their religion. That was against serving God. So they didn't do it. They got thrown in the fire, but they didn't burn. But let me tell you, even if you get burned, you get to go see Jesus. How bad's that? Come on, wreck the car. I get to go see Jesus. Come on, somebody. Listen, can I just say this? I'm working on a message that can I just say this right now? Don't run from death. Don't run from death. Now, listen, I'm not saying die sick, but listen, if you're going to die, just what's, you get in the presence of God. How good is that? That's the goal, everybody. I'm not saying check out early, but, you know, if you do, praise the Lord. We'd be okay with your family. We're going to help you. Can I just say it that way? Don't fear that. Don't let that be over you. So identify with the nation. Identify with the city. Here was what the prophet Jeremiah told the people. He said this: live, marry, raise kids, work, prosper, pray for the city, and seek the peace of the city. So he says, hey, Chula Vista folk, South Bay folk, don't get crazy with what's going on in the government. Identify with the nation and the city. Yeah, we're going through a tough time. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get married. I'm going to find me a girl. Come on, somebody. What are you going to do? I'm going to get a job. That's what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? I'm going to buy me a condo. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to seek to bless the city. I'm going to live. I'm going to do kingdom business here. I don't care who's in the White House or the doghouse or the back. Come on, I'm here to do kingdom business. Third thing we need to do is preach. Come on, preach to the nation and preach to the city. Preach to the nation and preach to the city. Jesus actually said this in John 17:6. He said, my followers don't belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the world. And everything in my life, everything I deal with, everything you do, tries to get me hooked up to the world. What's going on? What's the latest? And the pain and the pressure and the whatever. And then now we are so, you know, back when I was growing up, come on, man, it was like you didn't get the news till the next day. You didn't get the news. Sometimes even the news on the TV was old news. Come on, somebody. And then it was so hard. You had to go, come on. Anybody remember the day that you had to sit in your couch and you had to say, I don't like that channel. Anybody going to change the channel? No, I ain't getting up. Come on, back in the day, you have to get off your little keister. You have to go like this. Click, click, click. Come on, anybody remember that? Come on, somebody. Come on, I got some love in the house this morning. You look around, everybody going, who's going to change the channel? Junior, change the channel. And then pretty soon, come on, anybody remember the day? Pretty soon you put a kid down there and they just go like this. Come on, anybody. Child labor laws weren't in effect then, let me tell you. Kid's going to work. Change the channel. And go get me an iced tea while you're at it. Preach to the nation. Come on, we're not of the world, right? Come on, everybody. We're not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. So what do? We preach to the nation. We belong to another kingdom, guys. Not a black kingdom, a white kingdom, a Hispanic kingdom, an Asian kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. And the Bible over and over again is telling us that we're not normal people. We're spiritual people. That's what it says. So our number one job, again, I know I've said it three times already, our number one job is to bring Jesus to people who don't know Jesus. I'm not trying to sway people politically, because if I sway them politically, the next person, I might sway them somewhere different. I want to build relationships with people who don't know God. I want people to hear what God's doing. At work, and with my family, and friends, whatever I frequent, I don't want to get involved in. I want to get involved in what God loves, what God redeems. God redeems people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Fourth thing we got to do is that we just got to bless the nation and the city in which we live in. Bless it. Come on, bless it. Come on. If you want to. I don't know of people who get all crazy and start talking about America. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I always want to say? Come on. I just say, just get out of here then. Go get out of here. Get your keys to out of here. You don't want to be here? Just get on out of here. And I take you right down to Columbia where I'm going to be next month and preaching. We're my pastor friend down there, John Romick's been, and they have a pastor's conference, and after the pastor's conference, the guys go home, and some of the guys are on motorcycles, and so a guy comes up to the pastor on a motorcycle and says, give me your motorcycle. He says, no, boom, 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 pop, 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 pop in the head, and he dies and goes, he's Jesus. Can that happen here? Yeah, but I'm glad I live here than there. Bless the city. Bless the nation. What's that mean? Bless means to speak well of. To speak well of. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:11, upright citizens are good for a city and make it prosper, but the talk of the wicked tears it apart. Make sure you're not talking wicked talk. Make sure you're not, because that's just not Christ-like. I read this quote. I don't know if I've told you this before, but look on the screen. It's a little bit long, but follow along with me. You need to see yourself as a missionary to the city in which you live. Where we live is part of God's call on our lives, even if we were brought there by negative circumstances. Where we live is not dictated by chance, happenstance, or circumstance, but rather by providence. So where you're at right now, listen to me, I don't believe you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. I believe you're in the right place at the right time. I believe God caused me to be born in, you know, Manhattan, you know, outside of Manhattan on Long Island, March 3rd, 1960. I believe God led, and I was hooked up with my mom and dad, didn't have a voice, didn't have a chance, but they moved here, they moved there. I can see God's DNA and God's hand and His fingerprint in my entire life. And so when we come into a place like today, where all there is negative voices and negative circumstances, it's real easy to want to check out, and I'm encouraging you, don't check out, check in. And the way you can check in is you can pray, you can seek the peace, you can bless, you can identify with our nation, you can identify with our city, you can love the city, you can serve the city in which we live in, and by all means, on Tuesday, you must vote. You must vote. You must vote. We said this last week, come on, just work with me just a few more minutes, let me say this, is that when you vote, you need to vote in mind for the person, the party, and the platform that's going to carry on the values of the kingdom of God. You vote for the person, the party, and the platform, what they stand for across the board, what they stand for, that's going to carry on the values of the kingdom of God. I'm not going to vote for a certain party because they're going to be better for me tax-wise. Why? They ain't my source. God is. I'm not going to vote for the party because they're going to help me. Because come on, 56. And they might be around for the next 8 years. 56 plus 8. Whoo, I'm going to be 64. And Medicare, who's going to be best for my medical benefits? That's who I want in. I thought God's my healer. I thought God's going to take care of me. I thought He's my source. Vote for the person, the party, the platform that's going to carry on the values of the kingdom of God. Okay, real quick. What do we do? Number one, pray for our leaders. We said this last week. Don't put the scripture up, guys, but just 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. It tells us to, first of all, pray for our leaders so that we have peace, we have godly society, that if we connect our prayers with people being in office, hearing God, we're going to have peace in our society. Number two, submit to government authority. Again, tough in our times. As again, we go, okay, submit to government authority. What's that mean? I ain't doing nothing wrong. I seen the video. The guy grabbed the guy, threw him on the ground, beat him to a pulp. What? He got killed. What? Submit to government. No, I ain't submitting to nothing. No. You're from a different kingdom. You're from a different authority. You're living a different kind of life. So you pray and you believe God for angels. You believe God for favor everywhere you go. Whatever color your skin is. Whatever gender you are, however how old or how young you are. And if you're toying around and you're jacking around, and can I say this, pardon me, screwing around with the wrong people, you better stop it and cut that out and get living for Jesus. The Bible says here, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient and always ready to do what's good. Titus 3:1 says that. Pray for our leaders. Submit to the government that's over us. Be a good worker, number three, in our country. Be a good worker.
Be a good worker. The Bible tells us this in Colossians 3. Servants, do what you're told on earthly masters. Don't just do the minimum to get by with. Do your best. Work from the heart. Be for your real master, God. He's confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master that you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Come on, you're in a society, you're in a culture. You say you're a Christian, be a good worker. Pray for leaders, submit to government authority, be a good worker. And number four, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Romans 13:9 says, the commandment says, don't commit adultery. Come on. Wow. Don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. These and other sets of commandments are summed up in the one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the bedrock of our society. Love your neighbor as yourself. What are we to do? We're not to argue. We're not to fuss. We're not to go crazy on social media. We're not to finger point. We're not to have our families divided. We're to walk in love. We're to pray for our leaders. We're to be socially responsible. We're to submit to the government that's over us. We're to be a good worker in the workplace. We're to use every opportunity to preach for Jesus, to let our light shine. We're to love people like Jesus would love people. We're not here to fight. We're not here to fume. We're not here to get nasty. We're not here to make lines. We're actually here to wipe lines out. So how you doing? How you doing? You know, do you know who you folk going to vote for? Do you know who you're going to vote for? Do you know what they stand for? Are they going to value the kingdom of God? Are they going to value their own thing? Come on, this is a time never before. Churches all across, I know on the weekend and all across the next couple of days, you'll be praying feverishly for what goes on. Because really, you do know that whoever gets in office, that it's not so much even about the presidency and not even so much about what's going on in state legislature and not even so much about what's going on in local and community legislation. The big thing is what's going to happen potentially in our Supreme Court. There are 7 Supreme Court justices that are mid-70s and older 70s and older that have the potential or on, 78 years old, about the average lifespan now, to actually leaving the earth. That whoever's elected president will then, and their party will be bringing that person, several, to bear, who will then decide what goes on in our nation. So it's huge. It's huge. So we want to pray. Amen. Come on. Just stay there for a second before I have you stand. Let's pray just a second for our nation. Father, we just close the service today in just humbleness and prayer. We're asking you to seek your face for our nation, Father. Never before have we sensed just unrest and uncertainty with what's going on. So, Father, we ask you that it hasn't escaped you. You've seen, you've heard, you know. And so, Lord God Almighty, we ask you today to intervene in our nation. Father, whatever happens on Tuesday, one thing we do know, Jesus is still Lord. You haven't left the throne. Nothing's caught you off guard. Your agenda is going to stand. We found out over and over last week from the Word of God that the Scripture tells us that God rules. You reign. Your kingdom's over all. So, Father, I just pray peace to every person today. But, Father, that they would take their civic duty, every adult, and would vote with heart-moving emotion. God, what do you want to do in this situation? And Father God, we pray. Father, I just pray against all the crazy stuff that we're hearing. I don't know if it's true or not, Father. I'm just talking to you. The crazy stuff we're hearing about Russians and coming involved and messing with the ballots and all kind of stuff electronically and what's going on and how WikiLeaks and crazy stuff go. Father, help us. Just help us. That everything will be done in order and everything will be done according to your plan. Father, if that quote from Oz Guinness is true, that you're giving us leaders according to our own righteousness. What I'm saying, Father, for our church is forgive us for not seeking your will in your heart not just for me, Father God, but for my children and for my grandchildren, the next generation. We want your kingdom to rule and reign. And so, Father, regardless of what happens in government, we are going to be people who speak for you and bless our city and bless our government. We're going to be good workers. We're going to love our neighbors. We're going to tear down walls of division, oh God. And no matter who is in the White House, we're glad, God Almighty, you're in our house. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say amen. Come on, stand up, everybody. Give somebody a high five and say, come on, tell them it's going to be all right. Come on, just tell them it's going to be all right. Come on, come on, get that long look off your face. It's going to be all right. Come on, it's going to be all right. Couple shots of caffeine, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Come on, come on. Come on, you get some cold brew. Get some of Tim's cold brew. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Every service we close this way, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't know of. You know, when we moved down here, let me just say this. You bear with me long enough this morning, but just 60 more seconds. We first moved down here in the summer of July of 01. Everybody remember what happened in September 01? Yeah, 9/11. All of a sudden, people flocked to church for about 3 weeks. And then they flocked right back. They were looking for comfort and counsel, you know, consoling. Never before. I mean, it was weird, right? No planes in the sky. It was just weird 15 years ago. And so no matter what's going on right now, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, listen, no scare tactics. I don't scare people to follow Jesus. That's crazy. But if you just don't know Jesus as Lord, He wants to be your rock. He wants to be your fortress. He wants to be your confidence. He wants to be your Savior. No matter what's going on in your life, you could be like me, that I was raised in a church like this, and I heard the messages, I heard it and heard it and heard it, but I just wasn't ready until, man, one day I was ready. And maybe today's your day. Maybe today you're just saying, man, I don't know what's going on. I'm a young dad. I'm a young mom. I want a different life for my. I want to be different myself. I want to be different for my family. The way it's going to be different isn't by the government. The way it's going to be different is by you becoming made new on the inside. The difference always happens on the inside. And so every Sunday we give people an opportunity just to make that prayer, make that difference. And what that is you saying, I need change in my life. I'm looking for the only one who can change me. Government can't change me. An extra $100, I'll burn quick. It's not going to change me. A new car, when I drive it off the lot, it's called used. Not going to change me. What will change you and bring constant change in your life is a person called Jesus. We sang a song today called Mercy. One scripture says, His mercies are new every morning. Great's His faithfulness. You'll find that out. And maybe you prayed that prayer before, but it's like, I don't know about you, but there's some days I need a little bit more mercy than I did the other day. I just want to look to God again today. So come on, everybody, bow your head, close your eyes. If you've never prayed a prayer like this today, or maybe this is your first time doing that, or maybe you're just saying, I'm kind of done, man. I'm siding in. I'm sneaking in. I'm running to God today. Come on, you just pray this prayer out loud with us. Everybody's going to pray together. You mean it in your heart. Come on, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you again today in Jesus' name. I'm not playing around, and I'm running to you. I believe in my heart, and I'm saying with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. So I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me your power. Show me your word so I can live for you from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's praise God for that. Amen. Come on. Come on. If you prayed that prayer, our prayer partners are going to be up here. At the end of the service, just right now, we pray with you about anything we can pray with you about. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time or maybe prayed it again and said, hey, I made a pledge today, I made a commitment today, come up and tell one of our prayer partners. We'd love to hear your story. Love to meet you personally. Listen, God's doing amazing things. Be watching what goes on Tuesday and whatever happens on Wednesday. Go to work. Praise God. Wednesday would be a good day for you to start praying for the new president. Whether he's got blonde hair or whether he, come on somebody, or got brown hair. Whether it's a man or a woman. Whether they're for your party or not for your party. You let Jesus be Lord. Can you say amen? Come on, find somebody, say hey to them, shake their hand. Tell them Jesus is Lord. Amen, amen, amen.